We continue our look this morning at the release of so-called juvenile lifers. Those are people who were teenagers when they were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. After court rulings struck down mandatory life without parole sentences for young people, 11 men have been paroled in Massachusetts over the past 2 years. We've spent time with two of the men. Both are now learning how to navigate a world that's changed dramatically since they first went behind bars. First, Joe Donovan, who's in a car with his father, Joe Donovan Sr.
Take a left, Joe.
Yeah, we're
drive around.
I know where we're going.
I say take a left, he goes right.
This might sound like a typical father-son driving lesson, but student Joe Donovan is 41 years old.
Just be careful.
I see flashing lights in a truck.
This is something new, too, backing out. Watch your mirror, Joe. This guy's backing out, too.
Yeah.
Donovan never thought he would drive. At 17 years old, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the 1992 murder of MIT student Yngwie Raustein. Although Donovan punched Raustein, one of the younger teens Donovan was with fatally stabbed Raustein. But Donovan was the only one considered an adult at the time, so he was sent to prison for life. Now his father, Joe Donovan Sr., is getting to teach his son something he might have 24 years ago.
I'm happy to do this, you know, because we had no idea that he'd ever be out. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. And then when they gave him his parole, I said, oh, there's light again, you know, at the end of the tunnel.
In August of 2014, the Massachusetts Parole Board granted Donovan parole. But before his release, Donovan had to complete 6 months of rehabilitative programming and spend a year in a lower security correctional facility. He moved into a halfway house in Boston in May, and every day, he says, he marvels at his freedom.
I don't really get too stressed out about most stuff because, hey, I don't have somebody coming at me with a knife trying to kill me today. Pretty good day. There's not everybody screaming all the time. There's not every, you know, I'm not sleeping on a metal cot.
While in jail, Donovan took up drawing and won awards for his artwork. Now he's eager to find work where he can move ahead quickly.
When you're now in the age I am, right, which is middle age, I guess, you don't have those opportunities to make the mistakes and the screw-ups and try to find your way in life. I really only have, like, maybe one shot at finding a career.
Another man, recently released after growing up in prison, feels the same way.
I'm 52. I'm going back, like, to where I was before I went into prison. I'm starting all over again.
Greg Diachenko has been working as a custodian in Harvard Square for the past few months. In December, after 34 years in prison, he was released to his mother's home in Boston, where he now has an apartment.
It's immaculate. Your
yeah,
house is
bad.
Immaculate.
Like my cell.
Yeah.
My cell was immaculate. No, everybody used to say, oh, you got the cleanest cell in the block.
Diachenko was convicted of fatally stabbing 55-year-old Thomas Wharf in 1981. His parole hearing documents indicate that when Wharf propositioned Diachenko, Diachenko got into Wharf's car planning to rob him. But when Diachenko showed a knife, Wharf grabbed him and slammed on the horn. Diachenko fought to get free, stabbing Wharf several times. Diachenko describes the murder as the impulsive act of an angry, drunken teen.
I was 17 years old when that terrible crime happened. And it wasn't planned. I didn't wake up that morning and said I was going to go out and kill somebody. It turned into a horrible tragedy. And I hurt a lot of people.
Diachenko says his days on the, quote, outside are routine. He gets up at 5 every day, goes to the gym, to work, and gets long-delayed medical and dental care. He also tries to be a good citizen, with hopes of one day working with at-risk young people to try to prevent more teens from going to prison.
I need to stay focused on my future, you know, and try to do good things in the community. That's what I'd love to do. I'd love to be able to give something back and prove to people that I'm not the monster that a lot of people made me out to be.
After the 2012 U.S. Supreme Court ruling said it was unconstitutional to sentence juveniles to life in prison without parole, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that the estimated 60 juvenile lifers in the state were eligible for parole. In October of 2014, Diachenko won parole, just 2 months after Joe Donovan. Donovan is fighting his lifetime parole because he says he feels he served his sentence. He's also worried that it could make it easier for him to wind up back behind bars, even for a misunderstanding. Donovan says he stays away from crowds, so as much as he likes Fenway Park, he's declined an invitation to a Red Sox game.
There's just such a possibility of it turning in such a bad way, even an innocent situation. You know, I'm on paper as a murderer. If they look it up, right? If they run my name, it's a murderer out. And so, like, they're not going to look at the background story of, like, well, really, you know, he didn't do the crime of murder. The way they're going to look at it is he's a murderer on parole.
Donovan and Diachenko have similar parole conditions. They must meet regularly with a parole officer and a counselor, pay monthly parole fees, and hold steady jobs. They're both still in awe that they've actually been let go from prison. And Diachenko gets emotional, remembering the people he knows who are still incarcerated.
I would like people to know on the inside that I think about them all the time. I don't want to get too emotional, but I think about my fellow lifers all the time. And hopefully...
Sorry, this
it's
is
okay.
hard for you.
It is hard. And hopefully laws will change one day that will give them an opportunity to come out here in society and establish themselves and contribute.
Both Diachenko and Donovan say adjusting to their new lives would be near impossible without their strong family support. They also both say they deserved to be punished for their crimes, but they say because most inmates are released, even those who never thought they would be, a greater emphasis on rehabilitation would benefit everyone. To learn more about Greg Diachenko and Joe Donovan and to see photos, go to our website, WBUR.org.